This is a reading from the book A Cottage and 3 Acres, the story of one woman's return to Ireland in her quest for Eden. Written by Colette O'Neill at Beltona Cottage in the west of Ireland. This book is for sale through Colette's website, beltonacottage.com. And I'm going to read chapter 1. Mayflies Rising. The mayflies rise early in the month if the weather is any way normal. Sometimes, if spring comes in too soon and summer follows on, the earth begins to shrink in the heat and even the midges stay in the shade. It's too hot to work on the bog without shade of tree or hill, and the cattle lie apart, heaving the heat at midday. May in Ireland can be hot and dry. That May, Beltona, as it's known in Old Irish, the first one, was the dry beginning to a long, hot summer. I had spent several weeks each year in the west of Ireland looking at old cottages with land, ones that were affordable, but not one met all the criteria I had set in my head. This trip was different, for I was desperate to leave London and change my life. It was a case of any reasonable dwelling with a few acres of land. This time it was going to be less of a search for perfection and more applying my vivid imagination to the most hopeless-looking ruin. In the event, I settled for the last property on the list, featuring all the wrong aspects, including north-facing, wet, rush-infested land. Here stood Beltona Cottage, and in my mind's eye, it was my dream home and small holding. The auctioneer, that's Irish for estate agent, owned a pub in town. It was a case of going up to the bar and asking this rather old man if he had any properties for sale. It was then just a slip of the tongue to order an Irish whiskey and soda. Somewhere in all of this confusion, a conversation developed that resulted in a short biography of sorts being delivered to the pub landlord, eloquently finished off with a heartfelt plea for an old cottage that had a little land around it. By the following evening, I was relaxing back in the lounge bar of the same pub, toasting my new home, Beltona Cottage. The deal was done and dusted, even using the same solicitor as the vendor, for speed of purchase. What matter the hole in the roof, no plumbing, ancient wiring, and a rocky mud track that served as a laneway, or, for that matter, the boggy land that had no drainage, trees or outbuildings. No matter anything, I paid the asking price and headed back to London to hand in my resignation and pack up my worldly goods. It was raining on the day I left London. Ireland sweltered in a heatwave, according to BBC Radio 4. Money being at a premium, I hired a big Luton van on a 4-day lease. This was early July, and the intention was to collect everything that could be transported, load the van in a day, and make it to the overnight crossing from Holyhead to Dublin. I drove the van all over North London, collecting my chattels here and there from the homes of friends and family who'd agreed to store them after I'd sold my house. My optimism diluted the madness of the day. The ferry sailed at 3 a.m, docking in Dublin for breakfast time and before the city stirred. The drive from Dublin would take around 3 hours. All went according to plan. It never occurred to me that unloading the van would be a one-woman show. This would be a good template for how the next 13 years would be. I had friends and family to help me load up in London, but arriving at Beltona Cottage, it suddenly dawned upon me that I'd decided to buy a home and settle in a place where I had no family or friends, and knew absolutely no one. It was a long hot day as I unloaded my worldly goods into a ramshackle cottage, pushing and shoving as much as I could fit into one of the two small bedrooms, where all would be safe and out of the way as I renovated the cottage. That was the plan. Plants and pots were the first to be removed from the van and the last to be sorted out. Most of the pots held saplings and shrubs grown from seed or cuttings of my allotment in London. The tiny trees were strong and healthy, so I found a sheltered, sunny spot by the south wall of the cottage. I packed moss around the pots and watered well. Arranging all I had into some sort of order was important, as I would be back and forth to London over the next few months, couch surfing as I continued to work and gather money for all that needed to be done on the cottage before winter arrived. October, my birthday month. Midterm break at school allowed me the opportunity to get back to Ireland for a short time and my beloved Beltona Cottage. The stone walls held my dreams, calling out to me to breathe life into their sad and empty shell. The very act of living leaves immeasurable energy behind, energy that can be felt quite tangibly in some old dwellings. Over the course of the summer, a local contractor had been engaged to make a gravel road into the property and excavate much of the earth that had been previously washed down from the hill of Ballyfermoyle behind the cottage onto the land surrounding the dwelling. This continual soil erosion can be measured in the odd way in which stone walls erected on hillsides appear to have an inordinate amount of earth banked up on the upslope side, making it look more like terracing when it was not constructed as such. The area all around the structure was dug out quite deep, then filled with ton after ton of local limestone gravel. This proved to be an excellent investment, as the climate was beginning to change and rainfall was about to become heavier and more aggressive, impacting badly on the soil, causing erosion everywhere. The gravel would later prove to be a wonderful area in which valerian, a lime-loving flowering plant, would flourish in successive years. The gravel road was completed, and I finally had access to my home. It was imperative that I start the work on restoration and renovation. I had 10 days to find a reliable person whom I could trust to work for me. First on the to-do list was the roof. A gaping hole opened the soon-to-be kitchen onto the star-filled heavens on a good night. Most of the time it was rainwater that seeped and sometimes splattered onto the cottage floor from the heavens above. There were no ceilings to speak of, merely reinforced cardboard that looked substantial but gave way to the force of a broom being tapped on any part of it. This emergency repair was to be followed by rewiring, plumbing, for there was no kitchen sink, and the purchase and fitting of the Stanley stove. The stove would heat the water and the soon-to-be-installed radiators. Once this work was allocated to a local handyman with contacts, very important to have contacts as I soon found out, work started on the cottage and I began walking the land. The land. Some of the saddest looking land I'd ever walked upon. The ground squelched beneath my feet. Brown, boggy water oozing up either side of my wellies. Parts of the acreage were so boggy, It was dangerous to stand still for more than a few seconds. It quickly became apparent that a lot of drainage was going to have to be carried out. Many people have asked me if I drew up a plan for planting the 3 acres. I had not. Walking the land and engaging with the contours, boggy bits, rocks and brambles was an essential part of my permaculture journey. I created mind maps to allow easy visualization and ultimate planning. There followed an event of perfect synchronicity, one in which I was introduced to a man with a digger, but no ordinary man with a digger, no. A man who listened to what I wanted and worked alongside me, despite the apparent craziness of the plan I outlined to him. Synchronicity happens at a moment of meaningful coincidence, and this meeting was to shape the entire future of Beltane. The land needed more than just drainage. It cried out for understanding and empathy, both of which John had in abundance. That's the end of chapter 1.